were not yet completely answered. We received some general information, and also we'd appreciate more details on the area I raised about incommunicado detention under issue 11. So issue 5, more details, issue 11. I think this hasn't been responded to directly at all, if I'm correct. Here I raised that district attorneys and police inspectors are able to authorize incommunicado detention. This gives rise to a concern because incommunicado detention, of course, is associated with serious human rights violations. I would like to hear how the state party is taking steps to prohibit incommunicado detention, the legal representation and medical care, reparations and rehabilitation issues that I've already spoken to. I note that in an earlier dialogue a very long time ago, Sir Nigel Rodley raised the seriousness of the problems with incommunicado detention in Suriname. It seems that this is a persistent problem, and it would be useful if we did have more information so we would have a sense of what the situation is actually like today in practice. Issue 13 is also an issue that I raised earlier, and I thank you for the responses that you did provide this today. I have a few further questions, if you could elaborate on your responses, and that is what measures the state party is taking to strengthen internal reporting mechanisms in places of deprivation of liberty, and what steps are being taken to ensure thorough investigations of acts of violence and misconduct, and how you plan to ensure access to justice for detainees who have suffered cruel and inhuman treatment, and to impose sanctions commensurate with the seriousness of the offenses if the perpetrators are found guilty. As well, concerning medical care, I have a follow-up here on the oversight mechanisms that are in place to ensure that living conditions and medical care in prisons and detention facilities comply with international standards. What are precisely the oversight mechanisms? What processes do they follow? And could you comment on their effectiveness? The issue of communicable diseases in detention facilities. Here I've listened carefully to your comments. In our view, it's not necessary to make a choice between human rights and preventing the spread of COVID-19. These public goods can be balanced, and we know that in Suriname, prison crowding, shortages of water and cleaning supplies in detention facilities contributed to the spread of COVID-19. So going forward, tell us of Suriname's plans to ensure comprehensive strategies for safeguarding prisoners' rights and well-being in future public health crises. Also, please tell us, has Suriname provided detainees and prison staff with access to COVID-19 vaccines? We know about COVID outbreaks at several police stations and detention facilities, which limited the already limited detention capacity in Suriname. In 2021, we know that many security staff left due to lack of necessary health equipment, and this led to the escape of 13 detainees at a quarantine facility, and at least 2 detention facilities were closed as they didn't meet minimum operational standards, and some facilities had to be closed because of lack of maintenance, a high chance of escape, and unsanitary conditions. There were also challenges in social distancing in overcrowded detention facilities. What measures is Suriname taking to reopen the closed detention facilities and to ensure that they meet the relevant international standards, and to provide health equipment in these detention facilities. Could you please provide this information at this level of detail? We're quite interested in having a good, clear picture of what's happening in Suriname, and in order for that to happen, we do need some detail. And perhaps in closing, I'll simply ask how you have been addressing the issue of overcrowding in prisons, and how you've taken account of the Tokyo rules, the standard minimum rules for non-custodial measures, and whether any training or support is being provided to prison staff to handle public health crises effectively within detention facilities in the future. Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kren, for those additional questions and the details. We'll now hear from the next speaker, Mr. Carazo. Go ahead. Thank you very much indeed, and I'd also like to thank the delegation for the responses that they've given us. Thank you very much indeed for that extensive exhaustive